I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are coming back to Atlanta right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Zarin.
Elizabeth.
You know what's ridiculous?
Yes, I do, actually. The sea walnut. No, it's better than that. The sea walnut is called, actually, the warty comb jelly. And the reason why I bring up the sea walnut / warty comb jelly is because it has a transient anus.
Oh, wait, what now? And the who's it?
A transient anus. I'm glad you asked. It's basically a disappearing butt. So the butt comes together, forms for excretion, and then disappears into the body. It has a butt that reforms and forms whenever it needs it. A transient anus.
And then every time it happens, that song, Doin' the Butt, comes
exactly.
on.
Boom. Boom, boom.
That's yep. beautiful. That's
ridiculous,
a beautiful
right?
undersea ridiculous adventure.
Yeah. The warty comb jelly.
Well, sure. Okay. So, wow. That's ridiculous. You know what else is you know what else is ridiculous that just can't compete with that? But
you
thank you.
Can.
Going from like silly small time street cons to running crime and politics in a major American city and in an Alaskan frontier town.
Oh, otherwise I was like, is this Joe Kennedy's story?
It's the Joe Kennedy story. No, that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. It doesn't involve transient anuses, ani? But it's still pretty ridiculous.
It sounds super ridiculous.
This is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder-free and 100% ridiculous. I want to tell you a story, Zarin.
Please do. I love stories.
I know. And it's a story about a man named Soapy.
Oh, I love stories about a man named Soapy.
This hits all the marks
for I mean,
you.
This is my first, but I love it.
So, Jefferson Randolph Smith II. Why do people go with the second instead of junior?
I don't know. Okay. As a third, I don't know. Those are pretentious people, I'm telling you.
Whatevers. So, Jefferson, Jeffy Smith.
Junior, go on.
He was born in Georgia in 1860.
Oh, so was I.
So it was an interesting time yes. in Georgia, 1860. His daddy was a lawyer.
You could actually use that understatement to hold down papers. It's like a
totally.
Paperweight.
So his daddy's a lawyer mm-hmm. and also happens to own some land and with that, some people.
Oh, yes. I've heard about this.
And then after the war, mm-hmm. then they moved to Texas.
As one does when you still want to own people.
Right? Well, I think they didn't have anything left, and I'm not going to lose any sleep over that.
Yes.
So the whole family moves to Texas, and
Jefferson Smith. Randolph Smith.
Jefferson Randolph Smith the second. He starts gambling and swindling people in Fort Worth. Because, you know, family, it's a family tradition. But it gets a little hot for him there.
All right.
You know, he's his...
having his Nelly moment. Go right. on.
It was getting hot in there. He didn't want to take off all his clothes. And instead, he moved to Colorado.
Yeah, that's the other option, I think.
Right. And there, it's in Colorado that he sees someone doing the soap game.
Is that a dance? Doing the soap game.
Imagine,
like doing the butt?
Yeah. You know, if someone says, hey, you want to do the soap game?
I'm thinking only of two things.
That sounds like, are you also going to tell me not to tell anyone about this?
Jeez. That's so bleak.
That's my, that's how I work. It's the soap game. Mm-hmm. This is what it is.
What is the soap game?
A dude sells soap.
How is this a game? Did he win? Did I lose? What's going on here?
The game is capitalism.
Why are my pants off?
So there's a guy selling soap mm-hmm. on a street corner, as you do
as one
in
does.
Colorado.
That's where I buy all my soap, street
yeah,
corners.
Street corner soap dudes. And so he's got like a little card table and a beautiful pyramid of soaps wrapped in luxurious marbled papers with beautiful labels. And
on a street corner.
Yeah.
Okay.
On a street corner.
A lot of effort to sell on a street corner.
But it's, you know, it's there's a craft to it.
I thought there's just like, here's at the low price. I thought that's how
that
went.
No. So they have these bars of soap, and the guy selling them says, hey, everybody, gather around. Buy some soap. And people are walking by like, whatever. I like being dirty. And he's like, but wait, no.
Wait.
I can promise you that in some of these bars of soap is real legal tender.
Oh, like money?
Yeah, money.
Oh, that's better than soap.
Yeah.
No?
A negotiable instrument, they call it in legalese. So there's got money up in the soaps.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees someone doing this, and it's a gambling thing, right? So that you buy a bar of soap.
Oh, not every soap has money in it. Okay. Now I'm starting to see the game.
Yeah. So that's the game. It's a game of chance.
Oh, yes. Gambling, I think they call that.
I believe so. And so, you know, you come up, you're like, I'll take a bar of soap, sir. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, you know, are you lucky? He throws you the bar of soap. You pay him, you know, sometimes like 50 cents, whatever.
Okay.
A quarter for this bar of soap. And you peel it open and there's nothing. But at least, you know.
Right, so when I open it, do I have to like dig into the soap?
No. It's like between the soap and the beautiful marble paper that I was trying to tell you about that you weren't listening.
Oh, yeah.
So
I'm sorry, what?
So Mr. Smith sees a guy selling soap and running this little racket on a corner. He's like, I can do that. And anything he can do, I can do better.
Yeah. Watch out, Denver.
So he's in Denver. He starts selling soap on the streets. He's slanging soap. He's a soap monger. And he...
Two for fives.
And he calls it prize package soap sell.
Prize package soap sell.
Right.
Okay.
So he ups the game. Mm-hmm. He has a bunch of different denominations of bills in there. One, five, ten.
Wow.
Monies.
Damn, back then?
He likes his dead presidents crispy. So he slides, he's got hundreds in there sometimes, and he's selling the soap anywhere between 50 cents and $5. And sometimes he's selling them in batches, like 3 for $5 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he would sing these ads where he'd sing, I don't know what the tune was, but it was like, when you raise your arm, do you lose your charm?
That's his soap.
It's the kind of songs.
You raise your arm, do you lose your charm?
Yeah, that was his jingle. But doesn't it sound? It's like the kind of thing that you sing to your dog.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would sing.
Yeah, I say you. Yeah, like you know.
When you raise your leg, anyway. So some people were occasionally winning. Now most of the winners were actually plants.
No.
Duh.
So Wait a minute! You're telling me this soap game is rigged?
It's not on the up and up. So people are like, oh my gosh, I got like a $10 bill. And woo! And they, I'm rich. And they go skipping down the street. And then
I'm still just stuck with the idea of people are like, just like being tricked on a street corner for a soap game. And they're like, you know what? I think there's really going to be money in this. I think this is really a legit thing.
What I like to picture is how there's a guy there, he buys a bar of soap and dag nabbit, there's nothing in here. And he like frustratingly throws the wrapper to the ground, but he's holding onto the soap. And then the guy next to him, he buys a soap and then jackpot, $5 whole. And then like, you know, I'm gonna take this to the haberdashery. And he goes skipping off. And then the original dude who didn't win, he buys, well, give me 3 more bars.
Mm-hmm.
And he's digging around in his pockets and he gives the money and he's furiously unwrapping them. And there's wrappers all over the ground. And then he's got 4 bars of soap.
Mm-hmm.
And no cash to show for it. And then he's going to like trudge home and his wife's going to be like, did you get the groceries for our little infant who's so hungry? And he's just like dumps like
soap
8 bars of soap. Then they're almost like crumbly. Like they're probably like the crumbly kind of bars. They're not rich, luxurious.
Yeah, they're all broken because he thinks maybe there's money in the middle of the soap.
But you know what? Cleanest family in the West after that. So he's, you know, the Mr. Smith singing these jingles. And then he gets arrested for this. Because he's running basically an illegal lottery on the street corner.
Yeah, not basically. I think he qualifies.
He's just literally. So he gets arrested. And when he's taken into jail, they write on the booking papers that his first name is just Soapy. Soapy Smith. And I don't know if it was like there are different legends of how he gets this name. Like some people said that the police officer who arrested him was just very like, you know, at 6s and 7s and so busy and haggard. And he's like, oh, whatever, Soapy. And then others are like, you know, all right, Soapy here, you know, mm-hmm. this is ridiculous thing you're doing. But from that point forward, everyone calls him Soapy.
It sticks.
Yeah. Why not?
Well, it's a good nickname.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, honestly, it's like fun to say Soapy Smith.
Soapy Smith. Yeah. So in the meantime, Soapy, like, you know, obviously nothing comes of that arrest. He starts building up this gang of con men and petty thieves and running the streets in Denver. Dealers, card sharps. The economy in Denver is really bad at this point.
Okay.
And so Soapy, though, has got cash because these are businesses that never go bad.
Oh, of course.
Gambling and such. And so he's really greasing palms. Like, he is paying off cops. He's paying off politicians. When other people get arrested, he pays the fines and the legal fees.
He's currying favor amongst the criminal.
Oh, completely. And everyone's like wild loyal to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's rigging local elections. Most of the town is on his payroll. So like officials, cops, saloon owners, churches, hairdressers, florists. everyone's on the Soapy Smith train, right? He opens a fake stock exchange.
Wait, how do you I don't even understand
don't
how you can do that.
I'm not even sure.
Is he joining like a wire scheme or
well
is,
that he does we'll get to that, but mm-hmm. like at this point I think he's just like, oh, you know, yeah, I'll put $5 of, you know, whatever share, I'll give you $5 worth of shares in, I don't know if it was fake companies. And he's mm-hmm. like, oh, man, they went out of business. Sorry, buddy.
He lost money on
Or it's people who just don't have a grasp on how a stock market works.
Mm-hmm.
He did a lot of fake lotteries where there was no drawing. They're just like, sorry, you didn't win.
I'm really wondering about the people of Denver at this point. Like, right? How smart are they?
Yeah, well, it was a young town. He had this barber that worked with him. And so when people would come into town,
mm-hmm.
The barber would kind of assess them, like get
uh-huh.
the read on him and be like, so, you know, how much money do you have? Somehow get that information. And if he looked like a mark and like this guy's got cash and he's not too swift, the barber would shave a little V in the back of his head.
Oh my God, I love
it.
Where
he couldn't see it. So then like the Soapy Smith gang would see the V and be like, aha. Fresh pickings.
Yes.
So
that's amazing.
Isn't that so cool?
He might notice the chalk if we put it on the back of him. This will take days to grow out.
Yeah, we got plenty of time. So if we don't miss, yeah, it's so clever.
Everyone gets a shot at this guy.
And they needed a base. He needed like a home base.
Mm-hmm.
So he opens the Tivoli Saloon and Gambling Hall. This is in like 1885.
Okay.
It's a rollicking saloon on the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then upstairs, there's gambling. And in order, he thought that, like, to protect himself, to, like, CYA, he puts up this sign, caveat emptor, buyer beware.
Buyer beware, right? Exactly.
So he's like, look, you know what you're getting into. This is the Soapy Smith outfit.
Consider yourself duly warned.
Do you know who was a card dealer there?
No.
Bat Masterson.
Oh, dope.
Yeah. Starts as a buffalo hunter, becomes a gunfighter, was the sheriff of Dodge City.
Uh-huh.
And then this was in his gambling era.
Okay.
And then later on,
his late career.
He has this like fifth career as a sports writer,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
so
that is true.
Bat Masterson, right? There he is, like dealing cards, you know, double down, whatever. I don't even know. But it's starting to get hot for Soapy in Denver.
Oh, wait, why?
Well,
he's doing so well. He's greasing palms.
Because there was a new governor in Colorado.
Oh, right. That's a lot of political change over in 1885, mm-hmm. 1886.
Sure. Like, what are you down with, like, Colorado?
No, and just like, in America. That was the time.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah.
Grover Cleveland gets it's a time,
rough,
yeah.
rough business all around. Mm-hmm. Tumultuous, we'll
yes.
say.
It was a big post-Civil War period change mm-hmm. handover.
Mm-hmm. So there's this new Colorado governor, Davis Waite.
Wait for what?
Oh my God, that was awesome.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
And he wants to reform the corruption in the state. He's like, this place is a cesspool,
mm-hmm.
and I'm the fella to clean it up.
I've heard this before. Go on.
Denver was his
this
prime
place is
target.
A swamp.
And so everything, so he, you know, the governor. Governor mm-hmm. Waite, he's going to go in there and clean up Denver because Denver,
yeah.
you know, that's the gravel.
He's going to drain that swamp. Yeah. I got you.
Denver's the capital of Colorado, right?
I believe so. I just paused for
it's
a second.
It's like the biggest city, but wait. Okay, so I know who can answer this question for us.
Take it to the fact check.
The all-knowing Dave Kustin.
Yeah, let's see. It's Denver.
So it has to be Denver because that's the Capitol building. I was like, that can't be a county Capitol building.
Capital and most populous city. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's Denver. Yeah.
All
right. There. Clarified. There Thank you, Dave. So Denver, prime target, capital city,
mm-hmm.
big mess, Tivoli Saloon. Everything with Soapy hinges on confidence. He's a true con artist.
Oh, yeah.
So he's really charitable with the money that he makes mm-hmm. off of his crimes.
Smart on crime. Don't be greedy.
But if you can't hold the confidence of the people that you're the big boss,
mm-hmm.
where does that leave you?
And usually the sewer, the gutter, like somewhere left in an unmarked grave.
Well, I want you to think on that a little bit more. And then we're going to take a break and we'll come back and I'll tell you about it. Springtime is all about fresh air and fresh starts, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at SimpliSafe Home Security. It's the only home security system I use and recommend. Here's why I love it. With the days getting longer and the weather warming up, we're out and about a lot more, and that applies to criminals too. I don't have to worry because SimpliSafe blankets my whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. And there are indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over my property day and night. It's not just cameras. SimpliSafe has professional monitoring agents who keep watch on your home when you aren't there. Agents can stop crime in real time by speaking to intruders through the wireless indoor camera, warning them that they're being recorded and the police are on their way. Sounds great, right? There's no contract, and they offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. So trying SimpliSafe is risk-free. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/ridiculouscrime. That's simplisafe.com/ridiculouscrime. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpert.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Okay, so Denver.
Yeah.
March 18th. Is that your new name?
Yeah, Denver Davis. Davis Denver.
Denver. John Denver Davis. John Wait. Denver Davis. Wait. Denver, March 1894. Mm-hmm. That's where we are right now.
No, explains the weather.
Look around. That's where we are. Governor, wait. He tries to fire two members of the fire and police board.
Okay.
And he says that they're not doing enough to fight corruption. So they're out of here. You're out of here, buddy.
Not
pink slips.
Not doing enough to fight corruption.
Yeah.
He doesn't accuse them of corruption, just not doing enough to fight it. So they're ignoring a crime that's underway.
Correct.
For the benefit of their own position.
So this fire and police board members, these two of them, they get their pink slips. No, big nope. They barricade themselves inside City Hall.
It's such like a fire and cop response. Totally. You're firing me? You're fired.
Yeah,
how about
everybody's
that?
Everybody's fired.
The whole city's fired. About to get fired. Fired down to the ground.
Pry me out of here. So the governor's like, wait, my name's Governor. Wait. I'm calling in the Colorado National Guard.
Uh-oh. They got big guns.
Big guns. And the Denver police and the county sheriff, no, they're not on board with that.
They're like, we got guns too?
They're like, this is our jurisdiction.
Oh, snap.
And so you know what we're going to do? We're going to recruit a special force to defend City Hall.
They go to war against the government?
Against their own National Guard, the Colorado National Guard.
This guy just loves civil wars.
So the police, the county sheriffs are like, okay, let's round up a bunch of guys and we're going to defend City Hall.
That's what they choose to defend? City Hall?
Whose City Hall? Our City Hall.
We run the City Hall.
And you know who steps forward and volunteers?
I got one guess.
Soapy Smith.
My man.
He's like, I'll do it. I'll help the cause. And they deputize him.
That's
the biggest criminal in town. So they're all camped out at City Hall guarding it. The governor orders the infantry to march into downtown Denver.
Is the governor like, you know, like leading the is he like on a horse and he's like, go on, guys.
And then he's like, wait. And then he's just talking about himself. So he tells them. And he sends his own National Guard onto the own police and
I love
sheriff.
This is so Denver.
What does Soapy do? Soapy's just a hero.
How so?
I don't know if hero is there.
Yeah.
Soapy's a legend.
An icon, if you
Soapy
will.
Soapy scales City Hall.
Oh, wow.
Like Spider-Man.
Oh, damn.
And well, I don't know if it's like he probably just climbed the stairs and
But
I kind of
picturing on the outside.
Let's pretend that he climbed the outside.
He's shimmying up a column.
You know, he's just like he's
is
on
this
it.
Doric, this is hard to catch.
He gets up there and he makes this amazing statement. Mm-hmm. He says, "I'm closer to heaven than you are, but if you come any closer, you're gonna get there first."
Oh, damn. He should write dialogue for action movies.
He had been rehearsing that all the way up the steps. He's like, oh my God, this is going to be so good. Like, I'm just, I can't wait to see their faces. And Governor Waite is going to think, oh, you got me with that one. Now, 20,000 people had gathered around City Hall to watch this absolute dumpster fire of, of a fight.
They're like, are we going to have a war or what? Come on,
like,
now.
Let's do this. So
shoot!
The Colorado National Guard, they're, you know, standing there with their long guns and their, you know, musket fire. I don't know. And their AKs. And they're just like, they're primed and ready. They have like camouflage face paint.
Ooh, I like
no,
this.
They don't. No, but they don't. In our imaginations, in the picture,
they feel that way.
Yeah, they're just like feeling like urban super soldiers.
Okay.
And then you got Soapy up on the like dangling, hanging one arm off the side of the flagpole at the top of City Hall, kind of spinning around it. No shots are fired.
Oh,
you know, it's just a standoff. And then
they were just kind of like beating their chest, basically, you think?
Yeah. But like there's the 20,000 people standing outside. Yeah.
They're like, boo this show.
And then they decide that they want to be the ones who are logical and level headed. Mm-hmm. And so they go to Governor Waite and they tell him, you got to take this to court, man. Like, you don't get to just, no, let's squash it. Squash
it. We don't do that anymore.
No
out
beefing.
Here. New West.
So the Colorado Supreme Court decides that while the governor did have the authority to remove these commissioners, he could fire them.
Okay.
He did not have the authority to use the National Guard the way he did.
Oh.
So kind of a split decision for the gov. The commissioners were then forced to step down. They can't, you know, they pried him out of City Hall. They're like, guys, come on, just take it. You got fired. You'll recover. You'll find
something. No criminal charges. Consider it a win.
They're replaced. Yeah, exactly. Soapy is still riding the whole I'm a deputy sheriff thing. They deputized me. This is for life.
Last till I'm gone.
Por vida. You can't take this away from me. This is a lifetime position.
And you can't fire me because I was only deputized.
Right. So he goes around, like he's at his little gambling hall. If someone is, you know, losing money or whatever and they're not going to pay him, he arrests them.
Give him a criminal a badge.
Totally,
I love it.
But instead of taking him to jail when he arrests them, his officers that he would deputize, his employees.
He's now deputizing other people.
They would let them just walk and like not complain about the money that he'd stolen from them. But they have now, we have these two new people on the board, these new city authorities in Denver. They crack down on Soapy.
Wait, the new ones do. Okay.
Yeah. And then Soapy's like, I can't take this. The block is hot. I have to get out of here.
Oh.
Where does Soapy go?
Cleveland?
Nope.
Damn. Cincinnati.
He goes north to the future.
Oh.
He goes to Alaska.
Nice.
Yeah.
Bring it, son.
It's going off in Alaska. You know, it's like.
Yeah, it's like Klondike era, like the gold strike. Okay.
Completely. So he first gets to Skagway, Alaska in 1897.
Oh, wow.
So he spent quite a bit of time.
Yeah, in he was really in
Denver. There, Skagway, it was like the center of gold rush commerce. Then.
Like, is it where I would bring the find that or is it where I'm like?
That's how you get. That's like the gateway to get to the Yukon territory and to get all
supplies,
of the gold strikes.
It's like
up there.
The last stop, basically before the edge.
Okay. Totally. So Soapy shows up, and he starts his racket that he ran in Colorado, but he's doing it in Skagway. He's got his full crew with him. So he arrives, you know, he's like, come on, deputies, let's ride.
Yeah.
And they come up with like all these crazy schemes to fleece the people who are coming and going in and out.
The important part is the going. Because if you're fleecing people in a small town, that doesn't last long.
No, but see, it's like there aren't like a lot of permanent residents. It's just a passing through.
It's perfect for his street, like corner crimes.
Oh, completely. He's like, why didn't I think of this earlier? One of my favorite things that he did is he set up a 3-card Monte and shell game on the White Pass Trail.
What is the White Pass Trail?
So the White Pass Trail, there were two ways that you could get into the Yukon from Skagway.
Okay.
the Chilkoot Trail was like really steep.
I've heard of that one. Yeah.
It was like 30 something miles.
That's the one Jack London mentions all the time.
Yeah. Okay. All the time. And there are really crazy pictures of that where there are these insanely steep, high hills, mountains that they have to cross, and they'd cut these little tiny steps in. And some people would, you know, they'd bring a boat so that they'd be able to navigate the Yukon River.
Okay.
But you couldn't get there on the boat. So they would dismantle the boat and carry the pieces up and over this mountain and then reassemble it when they got to the Yukon. And then some people would just not really scuttle them, but they'd use them to get back and forth. And then they'd kind of get broken down. Other people would rebuild them. And then once they were up there, they'd establish like a ferry system on the Yukon.
Werner Herzog would have loved this.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm desperate for that movie. So that's the Chilkoot Pass. There's the White Pass Trail is longer. It's 45 miles.
Okay.
But it's not as steep. It's not as treacherous.
All right.
And so up on the White Pass Trail, that's where Soapy's like, hey, boys, get up there. So, if you look at pictures of people on these trails, it's like a traffic jam. It's just solid dudes.
Okay, like Mount Everest, where you just have all these people in like heavy coats all lined up waiting for their chance. Yeah, except for like,
there's no Gore-Tex then. Yeah. They're in like leather boots
and heavy wet wool
and their toes are falling off. And so these guys are all lined up. And the clowns with Soapy have tables set up and they're like, hey, you know, pick a card.
Find
any
a lucky
card.
Lady. Totally.
And then someone loses, but then they're not going to fight it because all the 900 guys behind them are like, keep going.
Yeah. Go on.
You're blocking the road. And so that was one of, I think that's a good one. Another thing that I love that Soapy did was he set up a fake telegraph office in town.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
Now it's important to know that there was no telegraph in Skagway. It didn't reach there. And so he sets up an office for these rubes who come in on the boats and they're like, you want to send a message home? It'll cost you $10.
You need to contact your family, tell them where
and
you are.
And then like one of his buddies just has like a stapler and he's hitting the top of it. Beep, 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 beep.
Making the sound effect himself.
Making beeping sounds, doesn't know Morse code, like nothing. Like he's just, and like, oh, great. And then every now and then they'd say, oh, you got a message back. Like, oh, really? What is it? Send money. Your aunt that you just sent that telegraph to 20 minutes ago, she immediately answered, send money. We can do that. We can totally wire the money. And they're like, oh, thank God. And then they go. So they were charging for these incoming and outgoing messages. The townspeople, they've grown disgruntled.
I'm surprised.
So in February of 1898, these disgruntled townspeople, they form this committee of 101.
Okay.
And they call a meeting to talk about the lawlessness in town.
Is that their nickname for Soapy?
the lawlessness aka Soapy. The committee of 101. I don't even know what that means, right?
Yeah, I don't either.
There were not 101 of them.
I'm imagining not.
But maybe it's like a university course 101.
Lawlessness 101.
So this is Get Soapy 101. So they have these meetings, a lot of like fist pounding and raised voices on, you know, in these clapboard. And they're freezing.
Oh, yeah.
These people are freezing and they're disgruntled. That's a bad
combo.
Maybe
the heat of their anger keeps them warm.
That's why they're so mad.
They're doing it just to stay alive.
There's one guy in the corner who's just like dwelling on how mad he is at Soapy and the steam's coming out of his ears. And then ladies are warming their hands, the steam coming out of his ears. They're just like, keep it up, Jacob. Yeah. My hands are freezing. So Soapy finds out about Committee of 101. Mm-hmm. He's like, this is garbage. You people are garbage people.
You think he puts shills in the meeting?
Well, no. He decides to, he's like, guys, we're going to this meeting.
Oh, he just goes right in.
Yeah. And they're like, wait, Soapy. Is this a good idea? He's like, no. Watch this. So he and all his crew roll into the committee meeting. And he announces that he's the one who's going to clean up the town. And he elects himself chairman of Skagway's new Law and Order Committee, the Committee of 303.
He's like, it's three times better than your committee.
He's like, I see your 101 and I raise you. 303, baby. And then he kicks over a table. He's like, I'm the boss.
Takes a spittoon, dumps it on someone's head.
How amazing is that? Like, that's confidence to be like, I'm the problem. Mm-hmm. I am the crime in town.
And but I can solve it.
I can clean up this town.
I can solve your problems with
Why do you think they call me Soapy? So he opens Jeff Smith's parlor. Now, apparently, like most, he didn't really like being called Soapy.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't want to be called Jefferson Smith.
No.
So he's a man of the people, Jeff.
It's just Jeff Smith.
And it's J-E-F-F, not Geoff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jeff Smith's parlor. A mm-hmm. parlor. It sounds cozy. It sounds...
Sure.
You know.
Sounds like a good place to get ripped off.
It sounds like there's teapots and doilies. And Jacob is just going to keep your hands warm with the steam coming out of him. He is cheesed off. So the parlor is part saloon, but it's also like the unofficial city hall.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah. I love it too.
Yeah, I can smell the cigar smoke.
Oh, completely. And it's so cold. And so the Spanish-American War breaks out.
Ah, damn it.
And Soapy... He turns the parlor into a militia recruiting center.
For the Spanish-American War.
In Alaska.
Where are they going to go? Cuba? The Philippines? And from Alaska?
Yeah, totally.
This is now a border fight.
Well, in case it makes its way up there.
Like, I can see the Philippines from here.
He calls himself a captain.
He's got a promotion, of course.
July 4th, 1898, he parades through town as a hero with his quote-unquote troops. You know, just in case.
He
stands
hero.
Next to, at the parade, he stands next to the territory's governor on the parade bandstand.
Okay. And he's wearing, imagine, a full uniform at this point. He's got multiple, like, medals.
Totally. July 7th.
Big Commodore hat.
3 days later, July 7th, mm-hmm. things take a turn.
Ooh, the Soapy Smith story.
Soapy's flying high in Skagway.
Mm-hmm.
But like Icarus with soap wings. He may have flown too close to the midnight sun. Do you like what I did there?
That was double.
I wove that.
Yeah.
I'm going to share the last chapter of Soapy's saga with you when we come back from this quick break.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hello, true crime listeners. This is Detective Lily Murata.
And this is co-detective Stephen Phillips Horse. And we're cracking the case of Gypsy Rose Blanchard this week on our award-winning podcast, Celebrity Book Club with Stephen and Lily.
She goes all in about why she murdered her mama.
You mean why she hired her boyfriend to murder her mama?
And we discuss all that and more.
That's right, because murder can be funny too.
Listen to this week's episode of Celebrity Book Club with Stephen and Lily on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, July 7th, 1898. A couple days earlier, July 4th, Soapy was, you know, standing tall, captain in his fake militia.
War hero.
And, you know, but he's the big boss in town. He's got his parlor.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Smith parlor.
But what happens on July 7th? Jay Stewart comes to town.
Uh-oh, not the Jay Stewart.
The Jay Stewart.
Who is Jay Stewart?
I don't know.
Okay.
Jay Stewart is just a man. Just a man just with a name.
Man. Just a man with a dream.
He enters Skagway and he's got $2,800 in gold dust on him.
Hmm.
Now, today, that $2,800 is worth $92,000.
He is going to attract Soapy like a fly to a pile of horse.
He's a soap magnet. He is like Grimy Fingers, and Soapy is the wonderful, richly scented liquid soap next to the sink.
That was elaborate. I
know. So Jay Stewart shows up, 92K in gold dust on him. And he was warned about Soapy.
Thank God somebody told him.
They're like, heads up.
Yeah.
Jeff Smith, a.k.a. Soapy, not a good man.
Yeah. And don't keep all your gold dust in one pocket.
And they said, well, no, they tell him, don't keep your gold dust anywhere but your hotel safe.
Oh.
Like, you have to do this. You have to keep your gold dust in the hotel safe.
Look, bro, don't even come to town.
Mr. Stewart, I need you to repeat that back to me. What did I just tell you? And he's like, put it in the safe? Yes. Only in the, put it in the street? No. Put it in the hotel safe. And so two of Soapy's men show up.
Of course.
Jay Stewart.
Is that gold dust?
They're like, listen, I heard you know, you need a place to keep the gold dust. And it's, you can't really pay for things in gold dust. You can't be like, sprinkle me and like, you know, walk into a store. You need to turn this into hard cash. Mm-hmm. You need to turn this into.
Converted to currency, bro.
Money. You know, what did I call it earlier? Negotiable instrument.
Oh, yes. Negotiable instrument.
Yes. Turn it into a negotiable instrument. So. They tell him, you know where you can get the best exchange rate in town?
Ooh, I got an idea.
Yes, in the front.
Yes, Trent Krim with The Independent. Was it Jeff Smith's parlor?
Why, yes. Yes, in fact, it was. You could get the best exchange rate in town at Jeff Smith's parlor. You could also probably send a telegram if you
need to. Yeah, you need to contact your family. They're worried about you.
Jay Stewart's like, well, my dandy, that sounds like a plan.
Oh, man.
And he goes skipping off down the street to the parlor. He's robbed, of course.
W.C. Fields would be, you know, not surprised.
So Stewart, after he turns his money over to the Soapy Smith operation and then it's never seen again, he raises hell with town officials.
Now, good luck.
They're rolling their eyes. They're like, Mr. Stewart, we told you. I had you repeat it back to me 3 times. He's still mad. First, he tells the deputy marshal. And the deputy marshal goes, too bad. Not my problem. Sucks to be you. But also, little side note, the deputy marshal is on Soapy's payroll.
Well, I'm shocked to find out.
I can't believe that. So he's, you know, the deputy marshal's no help. Mm-hmm. And he tells him, you know what? Too bad, so sad. You need to go back to the Klondike and find another $2,800 in gold dust.
Maybe go test your
luck. You can do
bro.
It. I have faith in you. Go on now. Run your little legs. Head up that hill. So...
He scratched his hair on his head. Go on, you little fella. Go on.
Patted him on the rump and off he went. No, Jay Stewart not really feeling it. Because, you know, like, he went up there. He got that gold dust mm-hmm. and it was cold. I can't stop fixating on how cold it is up there. So, now granted it's summertime, yes. but like, it's still cold.
But cold enough for me.
Sun's out all the time. Sun's mm-hmm. out, guns out. So he's like, I'm not going to do this. I like Skagway. I like the what in later years will be $92,000, but right now is $2,800. I like that. But so like the in town, the robbery doesn't upset people because they're just like, soapy, what are you going to do? Yeah. But
that's trickle up economics.
but here, this is a good point. I'm glad you said that.
Oh, really? Thank you.
Because the people aren't upset about the robbery itself, uh-huh. but they're upset about the fact that Jay Stewart had gone around and made a bunch of orders for goods and services. And now he can't pay for it.
Yep.
So like he had ordered like 96 pizzas. he had ordered like 5 pairs of Jordans. He had ordered a trailer and a lift kit for his truck that wasn't invented yet.
Some Lululemon leggings.
He went into, is it Lululemon, Lululemon? He went in there.
I don't know.
And he was like, give me all the cute pants you have and make it snappy.
And one pair of assless chaps.
Yes.
Don't ask.
Do you carry vests? And are they made of tapestry?
Do you have a beaver coat I could wear? I just would
96
really...
bolo ties, please.
Your finest bolo ties,
but
sir.
I'll COD. I'll get back. Let me just put, I'm putting in my order. I'll pick it up later. Let me go back to get my gold dust.
I left it at Soapy Smith's place. I'll be right back.
It's a great exchange rate. It's $2,800 for gold dust and the exchange rate is zero. Yeah. It's a negative exchange rate. So people are mad. Like the local merchants are super mad because mm-hmm. they were about to make a ton
yeah,
of money.
Yeah, now he's basically ripping off their wallets too.
Completely. And, you know, Soapy is like charitable and he does all this stuff, but he doesn't do 92 grand worth of stuff for these mm-hmm. people. So the town officials get together and they order Soapy. You have to return this gold by 4 p.m. on July 8th.
Do they have an or else behind that? Because I'm not imagining that's going to happen.
They just made that statement. It was an implied or else. It was an implied or else. So they tell him, look, you gotta give us the gold dust or give Jay Stewart the gold dust mm-hmm. back 4 p.m. So I'm imagining maybe there's like a town clock and people are like synchronizing their
They're
watches
all watching
to it.
Yeah.
There's a countdown.
Like 3:53, things are getting tight.
Soapy, like he's hanging out in the parlor. And some of his gang are like, Soap, dude, you got to give this money back.
Hey, boss, what are we going to do about this? Like, this is looking real, man.
This is getting bad. This is getting bad. I went over and I tried to buy yoga pants and they wouldn't serve me because I'm part of your crew. Like,
I
this
need
is
my yoga
up.
Pants, boss.
I need yoga pants.
Do you know
and
how cold it is here?
I need leather yoga pants for the Chilkoot Trail. So Soapy's like leaning back in his chair. Mm-hmm. They're all begging him. He's like, you know what? I'm going to tell everyone kick rocks.
The Soapy Smith answer. Suck it.
Suck it. This is my money now. This is my bike now. He won't turn over the gold is what I'm trying to say.
The whole town runs with their arms down by the sides.
My grandmama gave me that chain. So he's just not feeling it. He's mm-hmm. not going to give the money back. He's Soapy Smith. He's Soapy Blasted Smith. He's like, I held down Denver City Hall. Mm-hmm. I sold soap. You can't touch me. This means nothing to me. I'm a fake captain in the fake militia for the Spanish-American War. Thank me for my service. So the deadline passes.
Naturally.
4 o'clock. That was the longest bell toll, those four chimes in mm-hmm. the imaginary clock tower in Skagway. The crowd gathers.
Naturally. Like all 20,000.
All 8 people who live there. So they gather.
Did someone bring Jacob?
Like Jacob's still
it is so cold
off in the meeting hall and he's like still steaming. Jacob's in the meeting hall and he has like an icicle coming from his nose and they have to warm him up and be like, come on, we're going to the docks. Oh, we've moved. Okay. So they're all like, they're all gathering at the docks because that's where you gather when it's about to go down.
Oh yeah, naturally.
I guess.
This is what happens.
Like, Skagway life, you know? And that's L-Y-F-E, Skagway life. Yeah. You can get a sticker for the back of your car on that one. So the crowd gathers at the docks and they, you know, they decide we got to talk about our next moves. This is the way we do it in Skagway. We gather at the docks. We talk about our next moves.
And we come real with it.
Jacob, what's your next move? He's frozen. He can't answer. And so while they're coming up, like, okay, what happens next? And they're like got a little chalkboard and they're like drawing out like maneuvers or like, okay, what could happen? Pros and cons. Mm-hmm. We tell Soapy to give the money back. He doesn't give it back. Now what? So they have like that chart. Yes, no. Does Soapy give the money back? No. Okay, what happens next? Well, we got to fight Soapy. We got to find Soapy.
Yeah, first find and hope he has the money.
Where is Soapy? Soapy shows up. He's ready. There's two things we can describe Soapy as right now. Drunk and armed.
So he's at his best.
Yeah, Soapy's doing Soapy. So like he hears, oh, there's this crowd down at the dock. All right, I'll go down and talk to him. Come on, committee of 303. Let's do this. Bount up, soldiers.
Let's go fight some lawlessness. And give me another beer for the road.
He's like, give me four more Midori Sours and I'll be ready to go. So he's just like pounding them. He's like, we got so much ice. Who's making me a sweet marg?
Knock some ice off of Jacob's chin and put it in my drink.
Use it as a stir stick for this daiquiri. Yeah, so he's ready to go. He's fired up. He's drunk. He's armed. And there's a guard there, Frank Reed. And I don't know if he's in an official capacity or if he's probably a member of the committee of 101. Who's like still like he's a true believer. He thinks they're going to be able to do something. He has a gun and he tries to stop Soapy. Soapule. Soapathan. You need to listen to me. He's like, no, my name is actually Jeffrey. He's like, okay, whatever. Or Jefferson.
Jefferson, yeah.
No one knows their own name because they're all drunk as skunks and it's freezing. So Frank Reed, it's like, stop, halt, citizen. You cannot go any further.
None shall pass.
None shall pass. You have to give me the money. And Soapy tries to like push his way by Frank, not having it. Frank raises his weapon.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Soapy yells, my God, don't shoot. And those were his last words.
Oh, get out, really?
Yeah. My God, don't shoot.
I shouldn't be laughing at the man's last words.
I know. But so Reed fires his gun jams. Yeah. And like,
that's not good for a like
good
a,
for this whole tension.
Yeah. If you're in an armed duel.
The like 15 people now gathered at the docks are like, uh-oh. So, my God, don't shoot. The gun jams. But that gives time for Soapy to raise his weapon.
With his drunken aim.
With his, yeah, he's like a one light eye open and he's...
I got a gun for each of you.
He's like, why are there three Frank Reeds here? Which one do I shoot?
The one in the middle, Soapy.
So they both fire at the same time.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Soapy dies an hour later.
So he died. So he gets shot, says nothing else, and then just dies an hour later?
Yeah.
Okay.
Reed, he lived almost two more weeks and then he dies.
Ooh.
Now, does this count as our 1% murder? But it's not like part of the crime.
Well, I mean, I guess they're technically legally murders, but I mean, it wasn't malicious. It wasn't intended. It was much more of an honorable, like law abiding. Like, you know, if people say that when cops kill people, it's not murder, then this would be basically a legal thing where it's not murder, right?
It wasn't the main thing going on here. You know, because like Soapy never killed anybody.
Yeah, exactly. Neither one of these people
up
intended.
Until this, point.
This is more like self-defense.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like sort of a sloppy duel.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
So Reed, he lives two more weeks and then dies, which is just hideous.
That's a tough 2 weeks.
But in the meantime, they need to bury Soapy. He's getting ripe.
Soapy's starting to turn.
They ask the Methodist preacher in town, will you do the funeral? He's like, no.
Kind of forgiving.
They
do you
go
think
to
I'm
the Baptist here? Minister. Please, please, will you do this funeral? Nuh-uh.
Jesus Christ, no.
No. No, sir. No way. I'm not doing that. It's like, oh, God. They go to the Presbyterian minister. Doesn't this sound like a joke?
Yeah,
then
totally.
They get to the Presbyterian minister.
When do they get to the Catholic priest?
And the Presbyterian minister is like, I'm going to do this because you know what?
Oh.
Like, it's the right thing to do.
Huh. You look know, at you, Presbyterian.
Guy. However, The town says you cannot bury him in the town cemetery.
Wait, they won't allow his body?
No.
Like, it's going to corrupt the others?
Yeah.
Like, he's going to rip them off well, underneath the dirt?
Well, he's just such a, like, they're so mad at him still.
He's going to steal grandma's.
Yeah, they're just like, he will taint it. He will poison. He's a curse upon this frozen earth. So the Presbyterian minister is like, well, I guess we can go, like, just outside of town? And then the committee of 303 is like, I guess outside of town would be good. So they, like, drag his body outside of town.
Mm-hmm.
And just on the outskirts is where they bury him. And the grave still stands today.
Whoa.
So if you're ever in Skagway,
yeah,
go out there. I suggest lay a bar of soap on the headstone in honor of Soapy. He was a rascally character,
yes,
you know, but, yes, like, clever.
Definitely clever. And I love his confidence and his criminal ambition. I mean, the, yeah, man dreams big and he knows the power of a symbol. I mean, when he gets up on the top of the Capitol, the City Hall in Denver,
yeah,
and he's like, I mean, that's that line. I mean, the guy has a sense of theater.
He's theatrical.
I can appreciate it.
It's,
yeah,
beautiful. And, you know, it's just he's a wily guy.
And
so,
a three-card Monte game on the trail through cold country.
Oh, I still God, think I my that. Favorite is the fake telegraph.
Yes, that is the hands down the best.
So what's your full ridiculous takeaway here on Soapy?
I can't believe I've never thought about running a fake criminal enterprise based on something like a telegraph.
I know.
That's my genius. Ridiculous takeaway. What's wrong with me?
I think, you know, he was known as the king of the frontier confidence men. And
ooh,
he definitely was the king of this.
Yes, definitely.
So good. You know, everything was a gamble with Soapy right up to the end.
That's
he
true.
Gambled on that one.
Yep.
And you don't always win in gambling.
Nope. Sometimes you just get the soap.
And sometimes you leave us with a really ridiculous story.
Thank you, Soapy.
Thank you, Soapy. You can find us, me, Zarin, producer Dave, online at Ridiculous Crime on both Twitter and Instagram. And if you have a tip for us about a ridiculous crime that you want to hear about, send us an email at ridiculouscrime@gmail.com.
Gmail.com.
And maybe you want to tell us about a ridiculous crime that you've committed. Don't worry. We'll keep it anonymous.
It'll be just between us.
It's a safe space. We'll tell everyone about it, but we won't use your name. Or if you just want to say hi, it's a good way to reach us. So, yeah, that was Soapy Smith.
Thanks
I had
for that
a good
one.
Time.
That was a
hope
fun
you
story.
Did.
I like Soapy. He's like, I'm going to tell people about him. I like this one.
I'm going to call myself Soapy from now on.
Oh, please don't.
Until next time. Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett, produced and edited by Rootin' Tootin' Dave Kustin. Research is by the rascally Marissa Brown. The theme song is by Deputy Marshal Thomas Lee and the outlaw Travis Dutton. And executive producers are Wild West Bandits Ben Bolin and Noel Brown.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.